one more time to continue to listen to the Mike McFeely Show for this entire hour. Because at some point during this entire hour, Pinto is going to play one more Justin Timberlake song. And then when you hear that, be the first person to call in and identify it as a Justin Timberlake song. You don't need to know the name of it, just that it's a JT song. And if you are that one person, you'll be entered into our trivia contest tomorrow, our three-person trivia contest, and you'll be able to win a pair of Justin Timberlake tickets if you are the winner of that contest. So continue to listen until 5 o'clock on the Mike McFeely Show. As I've previewed a couple of times already on the program, heroin has been in the news a lot lately. Sadly, in the case of Philip Seymour Hoffman, the famed actor who apparently died of a heroin overdose. But also today, I noticed a story out of the Twin Cities that said 54 people died as a result of heroin overdoses in Hennepin County last year. Hennepin County is the county in which Minneapolis and Maple Grove and a lot of the western suburbs are located. So it's a big county, but 54 deaths just in that county due to heroin overdoses. And when I read that, I went, wow, that's a big number. And I'm wondering if heroin has crept into our community as well. And I know that Dave Ebinger, the police chief of Moorhead, is somebody who has been on this and informed about this for a long, long time. And I wanted to get him on the Mike McFeely Show today to talk about this. Chief Ebinger, welcome to the program today. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing okay, but I'm concerned that the popularity of heroin might be creeping into our fair community here, police chief. Is that accurate? Should I be worried about this? Is this happening?
Yeah, I think your concerns are well-founded. I don't know about creeping in. I think we've seen this coming for a number of years, and it is definitely here. We have a number of, and it's not through the traditional heroin addict that comes to mind to police officers of my age. We started back in the 70s early 80s before the influx of crack cocaine. Heroin was a drug of choice in the community I was a police officer in. These were generally lower socioeconomic urban drug addicts. There still is a number of problems related, you know, to that population. You look at Chicago, that's a prime example. Their drugs in the last decade, their heroin seizures have gone up 17-fold. But here in our community, we have a number of people that are hidden in plain sight who are addicted to opiates. It started with stealing and acquiring prescriptions for synthetic opiates, Oxycontin, drugs of that nature.
We're talking painkillers, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That are either synthetic or drawn from opiate-based product. And the addiction set in on that, and the FDA has done a pretty good job of tightening up the availability of those drugs and altering the drugs so they can't be snorted or injected. So you have an addicted population to opiates that has found a cheap and readily available drug in opium being brought up by the Sinaloa cartel through Chicago, up from Mexico through Chicago to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then westbound to Moorhead, Fargo area. We have a number of incidents where we've had overdoses. Two of them here in our community have been fatal in the last year, 14 months. They've gotten fairly high profile. Josh Nelson, his family, mm-hmm. has been very outspoken about the problem and has been courageous in their warning other citizens that this is an issue. We had a young, his name evades me, a young musician over in Fargo who overdosed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're seeing, we've recently had an arrest with 80 grams of tar heroin, the sticky stuff that we used to see come up from Mexico, but these people are good at adjusting in the market. Most of what we see is either white or brown powder. Again, the source of that is Mexico. Some of it's coming up from Central America, from Colombia, which has been the source where it's been coming for several years through Mexico, again through Sinaloa. Mexico has started growing poppies, my understanding, is the last couple of years. And both countries are providing a drug that America has demonstrated a voracious appetite for.
Well, and you mentioned, and you kind of answered this question already, but what I'm mid-40s, and so I grew up in the 70s. And when I think heroin, I think of the street junkie, you know, the guy sitting on a street corner in Detroit who's all spaced out and high and really, as you said, is on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. But if you're talking now about people who were using OxyContin or oxycodone or some other painkiller, and now they've moved to heroin, even right here in Fargo-Moorhead, that tells me that you're talking about high school kids or college kids and young professionals and anybody right along there.
To a great degree, it's 18 to 25. It's middle income, upper income kids that have gotten addicted to this. The track we see is they'll start snorting because that seems less threatening than injection. But as the addiction grows, injection is the alternative that gives them a harder buzz. One of the things that's really scary about heroin, and always has been, is you're not always sure what the dosage is. And what we're seeing is it's coming up in about a 90% pure form from Mexico, and then they cut it, they step on it to about a 9 to 12% dosage. But sometimes you'll get it that's a little bit or a considerable amount more, and people overdose on that. Other people build up a tolerance for it. They'll get clean or they'll go on methadone for a while. And methadone is not a treatment. Methadone is a maintenance program. And it is, when used with treatment, it has some value. But unfortunately, there are a number of methadone clinics that are for profit, and they just continue to feed the addiction. A lot of the methadone that comes out of those clinics is sold on the street. So a junkie may get their tolerance dropped as they use methadone or even stay clean for a period of time. And then when they start using again, they go back to the same level they were at when they last used, and the tolerance is dropped and it puts them into an overdose. A lot, other times, those are the ones you find with a needle still in their arm. Other times you'll come up on somebody who has gone to sleep and never wakes up again. My understanding is this will work on the part of the brain that controls breathing. And people will go under, and their brain will shut down the signal for respiration, and they'll asphyxiate. A lot of what we see now is cut with fentanyl or other drugs or other substances to give it the kick, but maybe to stretch the load out a little bit further. You can step on it more and get a higher profit. And this combination of drugs is often, individually, it can be toxic. And they'll cause overdoses. So, I mean, you're really looking at a very dangerous, threatening substance here sold by the predatory people that have always sold drugs in our community, the ones that are legislated against and the ones that we constantly have to deal with on synthetics. They don't care about the response of the individual. They just want to make sure they've got a market and they control the market. In the case of heroin, it's an extremely ruthless and dangerous group of people who are selling it to dealers in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and in Chicago, who are equally ruthless and dangerous. And it's a very scary trade.
Dave Eminger, he's the police chief of Moorhead. We're talking about heroin on the Mike McFeely Show because it's been in the news so much lately. So how much does it cost? Because again, when I'm very naive in the world of drugs because I don't do them, never have, never will, but so who can afford it? Is it expensive? Is it cheap? Is it, do you go to the street corner and say, hey, I want a heroin? I mean,
Eventually it's going to get pretty expensive as you build up a tolerance and need more and more of it. You know, a dose, a hit, about a tenth of a gram is what you're looking at, generally speaking, and that's going to go for about $50. Now, it's really funny. You look at the cost of heroin 8 or 9 years ago, and it would have been $150. But as the demand increased, the amount of the substance increased, and they keep the price to where you can get an addict. And that's one of the things, you keep drugs affordable enough to keep the population addicted, and you make your money on volume. It's just like Walmart. The more customers you have, the cheaper you can sell it. And these guys know their business. Nobody can accuse the drug cartels of not understanding how to market their product. So the price of it's gone down considerably.
let me ask you a law enforcement question then. So what are you doing about it? What are you and Keith Turnus and Arnold Rasmussen and all the law and Paul Laney and Bill Berquist, what are you guys doing about heroin and other hard drugs in our streets?
Well, through Minnesota, coming all the way out 94, where this is coming, there's a number of task forces. We're real lucky to have the Red River Valley Task Force here, which is under the direction of the DEA. It straddles two states, Cass and Clay County. We work with our partner agencies to the east. There are major investigations going on now, without giving too much away. One of the real aces we have here is the U.S. Attorney in Fargo. We get great response, great support, and excellent prosecution from that office, and always have since I've been here. When Drew Wrigley was USA, right through to today, we've just got an excellent relationship. All agencies in this area do. We try and get more bang for the buck. If Moorhead tried this by ourselves, we'd knock off a couple of people and not deal with the source. We approach this with a task force mentality. We work through the DEA. You've got multi-state cases that are being worked. And when we make a case on this, we shut down a lot of people. Law enforcement isn't the only answer. This is a community health problem. This is an addiction problem. We need to educate people. They need to know how dangerous this is. Families need to understand that, yeah, your kid may be a great kid and may be functioning as a student, but if you see something that's wrong, look into it. We've got an awful lot of kids who have bright futures waiting for them who are getting tied up in this, and it's very disturbing to see how they're debilitated in a very short time. This is not just a law enforcement problem. This is a social problem. It's a medical and health problem, and we've got a team approach this.
Well, I'm not sure you put my mind at ease, Chief, but at least I know more now than I did 15 minutes ago. So,
well, if we're alarmed by it, we start looking for answers and we start working towards solutions. We're not going to rest our way out of this problem.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Come back again sometime, okay?
You got it, Mike.
Yep, you bet. Dave Ebinger, he is a police chief of the great city of Moorhead.